Well, I hope you believe in having fun in church, or if not, you're in the wrong place today. We're going to look at the Word this morning for a few minutes, beginning with a verse in Hebrew. Now, I know that's not me. That's not me, I know. I know that one's not me. I'm going to say something today you've never heard me say before, because I've seen something in the Word this week I've never seen before. And when it comes to revelation, it has to be seen first before it can ever be said or spoken. But it's exciting. Some things come to us by way of revelation as we remain on the journey and over a period of time pressing in to the spirit of revelation, every child of God grows and matures and develops. And there are many benefits for being of a certain age in the spirit. It just gets better and better. And part of the benefits is seeing something fresh in the Word. Been there all along, but I wasn't ready for it until now. And still, we're all growing. I'm going to begin with one verse, Hebrews 10:35. It says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." And I'm speaking this morning for just a few minutes on confidence. The privilege of boldness. Now, this is a word for the mature. If you are not yet mature, and none of us fully are, then this is a word to grow on. We're going to be a little more spiritually developed when we leave here because of the word of the Lord this morning than any of us were when we came. Confidence is the belief that one can rely on someone with firm trust. Now, that describes our position with God, our relationship with God. It is one of confidence. We are confident in Him. We know we can firmly trust and rely on Him to come through for us. It is the privilege of boldness in the Spirit. The Bible says here in this verse, don't throw it away. Don't cast it away. Don't lose the confidence you have, because with the confidence we have in God comes a great reward. I'm just saying to you today, if you've been tempted to shrink back or to throw in the towel or to give up, throw up your hands and quit, now is no time to do it, because there is due compensation for those who maintain their confidence in God. I want to be quick to give this disclaimer. I am not talking about self-confidence. I'm not talking about arrogance or cockiness. I'm talking about spiritual trust and confidence in God. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and," love these next three words together, "access with confidence through faith in Him." So in this one verse of Scripture, both words, boldness and confidence. And in fact, it's specific in saying that's how we have access into the presence of God. We have access with confidence as we come to Him. There is no faith working in us without this confidence in God. There is no hope available for us without this confidence in God. There is no peace for us without this confidence in God. In fact, the peace of God is a result of our being confident in Him. Everything that works by faith is based on our trust, our confidence in God. And I know you have probably been there. I've been there a few times when there's been such a storm raging in my life. Circumstances were not pleasant at all. There was no warm and fuzzy feeling going on at all for a while. It was a warfare, and it appeared that so much was on the line. Sometimes your very life itself on the line. You didn't know if this was it. It was over or not. But even in the middle of a horrible storm in your life, the peace of God can take over and rule. It's the kind of peace, the Bible says, the kind of peace that passes understanding. You cannot explain it. You cannot understand it. You cannot describe it. It's the kind of peace that simply doesn't make sense. And even that kind of peace is available to us only because of our great confidence and our trust in Him. We have no access to God without this confidence. That's a sharp statement. What? You have no access to God without confidence? I wish there was a verse of scripture. The writer of Hebrews says, "He that comes to God must believe that He is." Are you confident of that? That He is. And then secondly, you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So no access to God unless, first of all, you're confident that He is God. He is real. And not only that, a great confidence that He's a rewarder to all of us who diligently seek after Him. Hebrews 4 and 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Boldly. Listen, some of us need to change the way we approach God. Some of us need to throw away the mindset of, well, He's holy God and I'm filthy, I'm nothing. If I get too close, I may be consumed with a fire. I may spontaneously combust if I even get too close, as filthy as I am, to a holy God like He is. So let me tiptoe in and just pray that I don't get struck dead. Oh, you have no understanding of what righteousness is. Not self-righteousness. That word's not even in our vocabulary. Not self-righteous. Because none of us are righteous in ourselves. It's a free gift. He gives us His righteousness by faith when we believe on Him. And it doesn't say, come tiptoeing when you get near the presence of God in fear and trembling that you don't get struck dead. No, it says, come boldly with confidence. Come boldly. When? When you need mercy and when you need grace, when you have a need going on in your life, come boldly. There's a confidence there. It's the privilege of being bold in the presence of God. There are some benefits we will receive if we are confident enough to seek them with boldness. In the book of Acts, the church was brand new. The church was just a day old. It was the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached one message on the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people were born again. That's a great start to any church, 3,000 on day one. The very next morning, on day two of the life of the church, 3,000 strong now in just one day. Peter and John were walking into the temple and they saw a lame man there. Everybody in town knew he was born that way. He had never walked a day in his life. He was over 40 years old now. And every day of his life, he'd bring him to the gate of the temple and there, and he would beg for some coins in his cup. That's how he made his living. And the religious people, the Jews in that day that would come to the temple to worship, would have pity on him and would drop a coin into his cup every day. That's how he lived. And on this particular day, when the church was just 24 hours old, Peter and John walked by him, and a boldness came on them. He was shaking that cup, and probably a coin was rattling in that tin cup. That's all he did all of his life. That's the only thing he knew. And Peter and John looked at him with boldness and said, "You're asking for one thing, but you really need something else you're not even asking for. You're asking for money, and we can't give you that, but we can give you what we have, which is what you really need anyway. And in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Well, that man who was born lame, over 40 years old, never been able to stand up and walk in his life, not only stood up, not only walked, but the Bible said he started leaping and dancing through the streets of Jerusalem. And when that miracle occurred, the church grew by 40% in one day. Yesterday they were 3,000 strong. And the Bible says now they were 5,000 strong in one day's growth. Why? The benefit of boldness at work. Now it got Peter and John in trouble. In fact, they were arrested by the religious leaders. It was the Sanhedrin court. They wanted to kill them for preaching in Jesus' name. In fact, they said, you can read it in the book of Acts chapter 4, they arrested him, brought them to court, Peter and John brought them to court, and asked them this question, "By what name have you done this? Healed this lame man, by what name have you done this?" And in Acts 4 and verse 10, they answered this way, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Some boldness kicking in. In verse 13, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived," listen to this, "that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." Now, Peter and John had been in the presence of God. Their confidence in God gave them access to his presence. They had an experience in the presence of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that endued them with power and confidence and boldness, so much so that in a court of law, with them on trial, they were able to say, "I'll tell you what name did this. The name of Jesus is how this man was healed. Jesus that you crucified." Well, now that's pretty bold. And the court looked at them and realized they were uneducated and untrained. Now, I'm all for education and I'm all for training. But it doesn't matter what your IQ is, your intelligence quotient can do some things for you, but your confidence quotient can do by far much more. If you have that confidence and that trust in God to move on your behalf, boldness and access with confidence. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, in Proverbs 28:1 said, "The wicked flee when no one is chasing them. But those who are in right standing with God are as bold as a lion." The prophet Isaiah said, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." We are only as strong as we are confident. Amen out there. Am I the only one needing this? I've got some plowing to do before I get to the end of the row. I haven't shown you yet what I've just seen recently. This is just foundation. But every spiritual battle we wage, talking to mature believers now, every spiritual battle we wage must be fought from the position of our absolute confidence in God. Now that's important right there. Every prayer, every battle, everything you're believing God to do, and every need you will ever have, every spiritual battle from this day forward, if you haven't been doing it already, must be fought from a position of our absolute confidence in God. Don't even approach Him if you don't have it. Don't waste your time nor His if you don't have it. Am I making any sense? I'm going to cut out some of your wasted prayer time right now. If you are not absolutely confident when you go into the presence of God with a request in prayer, don't waste your time. I've seen something new. Roy Hartherne, who has ministered here a few times, two or three times over the years, he and Pauline, his wife, Roy's with the Lord now. He died at age almost 90, just two or three years ago. He, by the way, was Benny Hinn's father-in-law. And their daughter, Suzanne, married Benny Hinn. And Roy was friends of ours. Also, his brother, Paul Hartherne, has been here. And Roy and Pauline were in our home. We have a picture of Roy at our piano in our house and him playing the piano and singing just with the four of us. And we've known Roy for decades. But about 15 years ago, he was on the verge of death. His kidneys had stopped working. His organs were shutting down. It was a medical emergency. He was in intensive care. Pauline was there, and their four children were there. At the bedside, the doctor said he will not survive the night. His blood pressure was 50 over 20, barely detectable, and nothing else they could do. Pauline said, when I heard the doctor say that, I left the intensive care room, went down the hall, found a small room where nobody was. I got in there and I said to God, God, you heard what the doctor has said about Roy. And Pauline said, she said to the Lord, now, Lord, I have a fight on my hand. But for the record, my fight is not with you. As we grow and mature in the Spirit and in the Word, we learn more and more about the nature of God, and we come to a place in developing spiritually where we know what to ask for and what not to ask for. She said, my fight, Lord, is not with you. You are the one who has a track record of healing, not inflicting disease. Now, I'm going to quickly wrap it up because now I'm going to show you what I've seen for the first time. And I believe there is a place we can grow spiritually. There is a dimension. I'm not there yet, but I'm close enough to see it on the horizon. Some of you may be there already. And some of you are like me and we're headed in this direction. But I believe I see in the future that as we spiritually mature as children of God, we can know when we pray whether or not we're going to get what we ask for. Is that interesting? Now, that's maturity here. I'm not there. I'm leaning in that direction. I can see it more clearly. That's where I want to go. That's the dimension I'm headed. And I think all of us are on the same journey headed in that direction. So it is ahead for all of us. But how wonderful it would be with this confidence and the privilege of boldness in the presence of God to be able to know when we pray and ask God for something, whether or not we're going to receive what we ask for. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Listen to the word. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And the next verse says, if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now that's pretty clear. Some of us have experiences in our past. Well, that didn't work out for me the way it said right there. Well, we need to listen carefully to every word. We have this confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, first of all, He hears. And if we know that He hears, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. As we grow spiritually, we learn not to ask Him for anything He's not going to give us. How many parents do we have here? Now, when my four-year-old asked me, can I have the keys to the car? I want to run to the mall. I had to teach her that day. Don't ask me that. You should have known, that's not what I want for you. No, you're not ready. Well, are you ever going to give me the keys to the car so I can go to the mall? Yes, but a long time from now. You got some waiting to do, some developing to do, some maturing to do. You've got some growing to do before I give you the keys. It's not even legal yet. But that's the way we come to the Lord sometimes. And we don't have the confidence to ask and believe when we pray because we're unsure whether it's His will or not. But as we grow spiritually and get to know Him at a higher level and get to know His word, which is His will, we know what to ask for. Oh, Lord, and I'm still, the jury's out on this one. I'm really sincere. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm not making fun. I'm just really sincere. I don't know if I should pray this. Lord, please, the next time there's a $540 million lottery ticket, would you please divinely give me seven numbers from heaven? And Lord, throw in that Powerball just right. You know, I don't know if that was, I can't pray that with confidence. I just decided right then in real time, no, I cannot confidently pray that. If I were to pray that, I'm not sure. That's the secret, is we only pray and ask Him for what we are sure and confident is His will. Now, the Amplified Bible says in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, we know with settled and absolute knowledge. Isn't that a great position of confidence in which to pray? We know when we pray with settled and absolute knowledge. The Message translation says it's as good as ours. The New Living translation says He will give us what we ask for. Now, simple. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect these two dots. How can you pray and God give you everything you ask for. Pray according to what He wants, not what you want. You reach a place in spiritual maturity, and I'm not there yet. I'm leaning toward it. I'm headed that way, as we all are, to where rather than just running into His presence and giving Him a laundry list of things we think He ought to give us and do for us, we learn not to ask Him for anything that we know He doesn't want for us. And our attitude and our spirit says, I personally don't want this unless it's what He wants for me. Now, when we pray from that position of confidence, He answers every prayer, whatever we ask, because we learn not to ask for things we know He's not going to give us. We're not a four-year-old. At some point, we grow up. Now, we can know when we pray whether or not we're going to receive what we're asking for. Now, it's not a science. There may be exceptions, but that's a goal to develop to the point that we can know when we pray. When we pray, we can know. That's why in the middle of a prayer, sometimes you might just need to cancel and say, Lord, I know better than this. I know better than even ask You for this. Forgive me, Lord. I'm going to go back and grow a little more and come back and ask You for something that pleases You more than me. Mark 11:24, and we're closing with this. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe. There's a confidence there. There's a confidence there. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's why I believe we can grow to a place to where we know when we pray whether or not we're going to receive it. We've done our homework up to that point. We've grown to the place that it's not just about me and what I want. Lord, I don't even want it unless it's what You want for me. And then when we reach that place of confidence and boldness, we can come into the presence of God with great trust that He's hearing me. I'm asking for something that pleases Him. This is His will more than mine. This is His timing more than mine. If He does not want it for me more than I want it for my own self, it's a deal killer anyway. I'm not going to ask for anything He doesn't want or that doesn't please Him. And when we live in that dimension, at that level of confidence and boldness in His Word, then we can know the moment we pray and ask whether or not we're going to receive what we're asking for. The Amplified Bible says, trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Anybody praying for anything, any needs in your life going on right now that requires a prayer to be lifted up to the Lord, then this word is for us. Everybody stand if you would. Everybody stand. Bow your heads, please, as the prayer team come and take their place here at the front of the church. In just a minute, they offer themselves to you in prayer for needs that you have in your life. Every head bowed. Father, thank You for a word to grow on. Thank You for revealing more of Yourself, Your identity to us. Your character, Your nature, Your will, Your spirit, Your word to us. Lord, we find ourselves in Your presence only because the confidence we have in Your word has brought us to this place. And there are needs in this house, and nobody with a need that understands this word needs to hesitate or tiptoe into your presence. But the invitation is out there. The doors are open wide. And you said, come boldly into my presence in times of need. And so it's with that confidence and with that boldness that we come into your presence. That confidence has given us access to you right now. And we know that as we pray according to your will, you will first of all hear us, and then you will grant us our request. We pray for what pleases you most. Lord, there are needs, financial needs, relationship needs, marital needs. Some people who need a job or a better job or a promotion on the job. Some people who need healing in their bodies. There are more needs than there are people here today. But we know you well enough to know that you have extended an invitation for us to come boldly in prayer. And so now we ask you, heaven and earth, to connect over our heads right now. Lord, may you make a way in the wilderness and cause a stream of water to burst forth even in the driest desert. Somebody who's here today knows what that means. Lord, we thank you for giving us the boldness to come to you like this and to submit our request to you. And by faith, we pray in Jesus' name for miracles to occur. We release gifts of the Spirit now to speak to us and to encourage, to comfort and to exhort and to edify us. And we consecrate this altar now as a place where the people of God can come and connect with God, hear the word of the Lord, and leave with a miracle if they need one. Thank you for being that good to your children today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Everybody open your eyes. You're dismissed to go. But before you go out that door to enjoy a great Sunday afternoon, if you have any need for prayer, come and receive prayer.